You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What comes to mind as we approach America's semi-quincentennial? Can you say that, by the way?
Semi-quincentennial. What? Can I spell it? That's the real question.
So what comes to mind as we approach America's semi-quincentennial? Concordia University Chicago will be marking this significant anniversary with a special series. We'll talk with President Dr. Russell Dawn and one of the series speakers in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Joining us today, Dr. Russell Dawn. He's president of Concordia University Chicago. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour, Dr. Dawn.
It's a delight to be with you again.
Also joining us today, Dr. Wilfred McClay. He's chair of classical history and Western civilization at Hillsdale College and one of the presenters in this special occasion. Dr. McClay, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Dr. Dawn, tell us about Concordia University Chicago's Stand Tall for Freedom series.
I'd be delighted to. The series is inspired by our Stand Tall theme. That theme encourages students and faculty and staff members all to stand tall in the faith and to stand tall for various virtues, such as our university pillars of truth, freedom, and vocation. The director of our Free Enterprise Center, Dr. Rachel Ferguson, she is also the assistant dean of our College of Business. She came up with this idea for the 250th anniversary. I will not try to say semi-quincentennial. I guess I just did.
You did it.
And she leads our efforts in the celebration. And so the events so far include, for highlights, a guest lecture by Jonah Goldberg at 7 p.m. on April 14th, and an annual patriotic pops concert that is really a local favorite. We have it out on the front lawn in front of our historic pillars, and it's just a wonderful event. People are there with their families on lawn chairs and just celebrating America. And so that will happen in June. We have the guest lecture coming by Dr. McClay surrounding Constitution Day. We don't have this specific date set yet. It may not be on Constitution Day, but that's kind of the idea, is that this Constitution scholar would help us to celebrate Constitution Day, hopefully around the late September. We're planning a dramatization of some of the famous interactions between John and Abigail Adams. I'm particularly excited about that because I think some of their letters are fascinating, and much more. Workshops and additional speakers. It's really exciting to be part of this institution on such a historic year.
Dr. Dawn, why is it important to you that we think about these topics of freedom and virtue and civic responsibility during this really momentous America's 250th anniversary celebrations?
Well, that's a big question. We could have we could have panel discussion about that topic. And now that I've said that, that's actually not a bad idea for our series, to have a panel discussion.
There you go. But you're welcome.
I'll try to summarize it with, so an anniversary doesn't only celebrate an event, but it also reminds us of the significance of the event. A free republic, getting to the significance of the founding of the United States, a free republic of the kind that the American founding created is vanishingly rare in human history, maybe even unique. And so that's a remarkable fact, given the natural human longing for freedom. And so I think that the reason for this chasm between the human longing for freedom and the rarity of achieving that freedom is that freedom requires a proper foundation in the faith virtue and learning that are difficult to achieve and even more difficult to maintain. It requires other things as well, but those are two fundamental components of that kind of freedom. And so if we don't keep the faith, and if we don't focus on virtue and learning, we won't sustain freedom. In fact, we won't even want to sustain freedom if we've not done those things. So that's why we should be emphasizing such things during the 250th anniversary celebration. It reminds us of why it's important, and then we can help to do the things and discuss the things that will help maintain our freedom going forward.
Dr. McClay, I know that you are scheduled to present for this event associated with Constitution Day. Tell us a little bit about your background and your area of research and what you get to do at Hillsdale College?
I get to do all kinds of great things at Hillsdale College. It's a wonderful place to teach. I'm really interested in stressing the religious basis. Dr. Dawn has sort of alluded to this, that there is a religious basis for our institutions. And John Adams put it very well, as he so often did in anything. He said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And that's a very sobering thought, because what he's really saying is the Constitution is dependent on civic virtue, on deep-seated, well-educated, catechized, if you will, citizen that is the basis for the freedom that we so rightly enjoy and so greatly. So it's not an incidental thing. A lot of people want to talk about 250th. By the way, I do want to interject here. I'm on the commission for my sins, the U.S. commission on the semi. We all have to announce. And what happened is, after a while, we decided that so many people that we would shift into calling it America 250. And so you are off the hook. You don't have to say semi-quincentennial once. Although, if you want to do it to show off, I never liked because to be semi, I'd like semi-pro baseball, but that's not professional baseball. It's not Wrigley Field today. Semi-quincentennial. I think this is a 100 Buffalo 250, and so let's leave it at that. But a lot of people want to emphasize freedom. Rightly so, that it is, it's part of our sort of national motto, and we are grateful for it, but our freedoms are not durable unless they have a virtuous life. Constitution, and this is a really amazing thing Adams to say, because he believed it was really important, the Constitution be structured in such a way as to play off different interests and different powers and so on against one another. Well, that's fine, but it's not enough. It's not enough for our Constitution to work for us to have this web of countervailing interests and checks and balances. There still has to be at bottom a commitment to the good of the common good of the whole people, a willingness to sacrifice for the sake of that, to understand why even such fundamental things as honesty and reliability and all things that kind of go with the concept of are essential for a self-governing people, because that's what we aspire to be. We're not just free, we're self-governing. And if we're going to govern ourselves, we have to know how to govern ourselves and how to go about doing, actually being self-governing individuals that help to run a self-governing society. And I think there's plenty of evidence we've lost that. We need to gain a sense of the importance to and responsibility in support of freedom. Freedom itself is, the founders always distinguished between liberty and license. License was bad. Liberty was good, but liberty meant having that capacity to be people, govern themselves. So all these things are bound up to commend university for coming up this triad of important concepts. They're absolutely central. And people just don't know. They haven't. It's my great frustration to discover that how people know about the country. We have a great opportunity with the coming of this 250th anniversary, which should be a celebration, but also a learning experience. So those are the kinds of things I like to talk about. A Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, both of our chief founding documents, come from a variety of sources. And you know, there's English common law, there's the Enlightenment, as we see Jefferson emphasizing. But even in Jefferson's nation, it's nature and nature's God. Not in a description of God that we would find satisfactory in every act, but a ringing endorsement, nevertheless, that it is God who is the source of our rights, and that our unalienable rights that cannot be taken away from, it cannot even be given away, because they are part of what we are, part of what God created us to be. This is a very strong element in the thinking of the founders. And the fact that Jefferson, who was a bit of a renegade about just ideas, and it didn't quite follow it all the way down the line, doesn't mean that most of the others did. Most of the others were Trinitarian Orthodox Christian, all over. So I want to emphasize in my remarks in September that there's a diversity of ideas making up the Constitution and the Declaration. But there's no one source. It isn't entirely John Locke, for example. And that's one of the reasons it was so successful, because it spoke any different persuasion, any approach. Country in 1770. So the document and the Constitution were designed with that plurality of our American culture in mind.
We need to take a quick break. We have more to talk about with Concordia University Chicago Celebration of America 250. You are listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared to serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, and Dr. Wilfred McClay, chair of classical history and Western civilization at Hillsdale College. And Dr. McClay, you've been talking about the Constitution. I'm curious, what are some misconceptions, some things that people don't realize about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, things that you've maybe come across in class teaching students, things that people don't realize?
Well, I think a lot of the complaint about the Constitution is it's too hard to amend it. It's too difficult to get things done. You have to, especially a constitutional amendment, but even ordinary legislation. There are too many pitfalls. The president can veto things, and have this whole issue. Need to get to 60 votes, which is actually not something in the Constitution. But leave all that aside. There's a sense that it's too hard to get things done. And I think because people don't know the history behind the Constitution, they don't understand that that's exactly the way it was. We did not want. There are enough occasions with prohibition. One of the really stupid things in our history. And in that instance, it was too easy to get a Constitution. Should have been harder. And we didn't have any trouble repealing it just a few years later. So the Constitution, this goes back, the Constitution is not a machine. It is not a foolproof, nothing is proof of fools. Always fools. It's not a fool mechanism for generating good laws and government. Exhibit A about that is that all of our mechanisms fail. Found this beginning of even today, you can have arguments about what that meaning was in 1860 and 61. But we did have that problem. And I think always there's a great saying of G.K. Chesterton, which I'll just have to paraphrase, but something like this, that whenever you insist that a wall needs to be torn down, first find out why the wall first. And in other words, history, just the sheer facticity of history, tells us something about the Constitution. The Constitution is an important part of what we should be thinking about when we think about replacing it, which an awful lot of people, a frightening number of people, want to do. Some of the scholars that are leading, are punitive leading law and, you know, I think the history of the Constitution with termination, which would take too much time to go into now, but is that Americans felt the need of these restraints against action. They were afraid of having such a powerful president in office with the Constitution. The only thing that mollified, well, two things. One, it was George Washington. And everybody pretty much everybody trusted George Washington. And not much of anybody else. You know, so they proved at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the reason they have a strong president is they knew George Washington holding it. But the other thing is that they were afraid of the Constitution of power and of expeditious power, the Constitution that would let you just change anything you want in a blink of an eye, was something they feared. It was what part of what they thought they had a revolution against. So there was a real fight over getting a strong constitution in place. And one thing to come out of that fight that I think all of us are grateful for, we should be, is the Bill of Rights. James Madison and the others who drafted the Constitution didn't think any such thing was necessary, and that in fact it could be troublesome, because, you know, what if you leave out some? there's all kinds of reasons why Madison was opposed. But finally, he decided, oh, well, let them have it, and we can incorporate the 9th and 10th Amendments, or some insurance against it being overused. Well, so the anti-federalists, those who opposed the Constitution, are really the ones to thank for First Amendment, with its many freedoms, beginning with the First Amendment, freedom of religion, first of our three. So I come back to where I started, at religious underpinnings of our constitutional way of life should not be ignored. The extent that they are, they should be embraced, they should be emphasized, and this should be reflected in our view about the freedom of religion. Which I may say that the Missouri Synod, LCMS, has done a fair amount to help with preservation of those of us who are un-Anglican, who are not Lutherans, are grateful for.
Dr. McClay, why was it important to you to accept the invitation to present at Concordia University Chicago Stand Tall for Freedom series?
Well, because I had such a great time when I came before. A great audience, great questions, great social time with the officials of the department head, president, others associated with the university, and I'm forgetting his name. Maybe you chopped it out. The man who sponsored the lecture.
Urologist. Yes, Dr. Betts.
Yes, Ross Betts. Yes. He was delightful, kind of crusty delightful. You know, he might ask, talked well into the night.
Yes.
That night. So I kept trying to ask him about urology. He didn't want, so I don't want to talk about it. I always like to talk to people about what they do. And I've never been at close quarters with a urologist, thankfully. He didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to talk about history and philosophy, theology, ecology, you name it. But a great person to have as an alum. Is he an alum or just a supporter?
Just a supporter, but a really ardent supporter. Yeah.
He is hardcore. Every college should have at least 17 of those.
Yes, and an extremely widely read and deeply read individual.
Yeah.
He's a delight to have around.
So Andy, really, I didn't require much thought. I'm giving a lot of talks about the 250th, and it's good to do another one. But to do it for this audience and your campus, in my kind of town, you know, why shouldn't I? So I'm sorry I don't have a more lofty answer, but I know I will enjoy myself. Find an audience that hearing what I have to say. And, you know, what more?
It's wonderful.
Dr. John, what are you looking forward to with this series, with this celebration of America 250?
Well, I'm looking forward to more conversations with Dr. McClay, that's for certain. I'm sitting here restraining myself from chiming in because there's just so much interesting interaction I know we're going to have. But I'm looking forward to a number of the events, really, really all of them that have been put in place so far. And as I said, there are other ones being thought about at this time. So I'm looking forward to the events, but really in the bigger picture, I'm looking forward to another way that the campus can be united around something good and true. We strive for that every day, centering life here on Christ and His Word. But it's also important to have special events that only come around periodically that we can focus on, that we can use as an object for focusing our faith. We can thank our Lord for this amazing freedom and the amazing wisdom that went into the American founding and that we benefit from down to this day. As much as people are resistant to the Constitution and the virtues of the founding today, we're still all benefiting from it. And so having that as a focal point for uniting the community is something I look forward to tremendously.
Dr. Don?
Can I add something to that? I served on this national commission, and frankly, we didn't get a lot done because of the political infight. And I don't mean just ideological, Democrat versus Republican. I mean, there are all kinds of things that I won't go into. It's a very hard, I get Rosie Rios, has been our chairman. We never had an executive director, not for an extended time. We were fighting so much. But one of the benefits of that has been that people around the country, local historical societies, colleges more than universities, but have stepped up. And so you have this more or less spontaneous and spread out, diffused celebration that's generated by people themselves in their own community. I live in a little town in Michigan of no distinction whatsoever. I hope nobody hears me saying this. But we discovered that we were coming up on our 200th anniversary. And everybody has sort of tied this event into the 50th nation. There's going to be a rite of fire. A no-name place. And this is happening all over. In some ways, the failure of the National Commission, and I do see it as a failure. And it's too late now to do much. But the American people have stepped up. And your program is part of the American people stepping. So I congratulate you for it. I'm grateful for it. And I'm glad to be a part of it some small way.
Thank you. Dr. Don, how can we participate in the upcoming Concordia University Chicago Stand Tall for Freedom series?
Great question. Well, all events are free of charge, and you can learn more about them through our social media and also on our website, cuchicago.edu/events. That's cuchicago.edu/events. We look forward to hosting you.
Guest today, Dr. Wilfred McClay. He is chair of classical history and Western civilization at Hillsdale College and also a presenter for Concordia University Chicago Stand Tall for Freedom event coming up in September. Dr. McClay, thanks for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
And Dr. Russell Dawn, he serves as president of Concordia University Chicago. Dr. Dawn, it's always a pleasure to get to talk with you. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy and Sarah. Always my pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.